in the middle ground between books 2 and 3.
Between riddle poems and yet another song.
It lies at the pit of Ambrose Spike Cellar in the Salamandish drawn special effects budget.
This is Dimension of Creativity. It is an area which we call the Spoiler Zone.
Hello and welcome back to Recorder on the Wall, where we review every Redwall fanfiction in existence.
No. God, no.
Strap in, folks.
Breathe, Jeremy, breathe!
Welcome,
oh,
welcome.
Wow. And that, obviously, yeah, that's Jeremy spazzing on the floor there. Hi, folks. I'm Pete.
I'm Jeremy.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Drew.
And yeah, no, surprise, folks, for April Fools, we decided to not review Martin the Warrior Book 2.
Surprise, scare quotes, because Pete gave it away.
Oh, shut up. Well, depending on when someone catches up and listens to the archive, yeah, it won't be a surprise. So. So we decided to read Redwall fanfiction, because we like to celebrate the community and don't want to torture ourselves, right?
Yay!
Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, for the record, if you've never heard of this concept, and you're on the internet, I'm surprised, but
Grandpa,
what is fanfiction?
What rock have you been hiding under?
Fanfiction, if you're not informed, is basically someone who is so enamored with a particular franchise, fandom, or what have you, decides to write their own stories within it. That's the basics of it.
Yes, or and so angered by a particular event that they decide to write their own story to change the event in the way that they like better.
George R. Martin knows what he did.
Yeah.
Pete, do you have something to share with us?
I haven't forgiven him for character redacted.
That could be one of like a million with George
R.
R. Martin.
That's the idea.
I was going to do a crossover from our other podcast and say, wait, Hulk Hogan was in Game of Thrones?
No. Jeremy, no. None of that.
Redacted.
Shame on you.
Shame.
So, I mean, this is a trope older than time, or because maybe it wasn't a thing people published back before the internet was huge, but no, I mean, if you go out and search older fandoms, like, especially, like, even Star Trek,
yeah.
This is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I was reading a book about the history of the Harry Potter fandom, because I'm not a nerd at all, and they mentioned in there that, like, they had something called fanzines for Star Trek, where, like, it would be a printed publication that would come out with people's fanfiction in it. I don't think they called it fanfiction at that point, but that's basically what it was.
Yeah. Everyone ships Kirk and Spock.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And yes, there is a darker side to fanfiction. We'll get to that in a moment. Let's be honest here, and I'll be the first to admit to this. Did we write fanfiction? Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yes, I did.
Yep, indeed.
Was it any good? No. Not in me, I guess.
I kind of took the coward's way out, because my fanfiction that I wrote, it was for Harry Potter, and it was a humor fanfic making fun of all the other cliches of fanfiction. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to be purposely bad.
Yep,
parody
exactly
of parody.
For that.
Yep.
Yeah. I may have dabbled in a tiny vista bit of Redwall 1 that's thankfully long lost.
Aw, sad. Mm.
Yes. there's a few others I don't care to mention because I don't want to be embarrassed any more than I am about this. But yes, I wrote it. It wasn't any good, but you do it out of a labor of love.
Pretty much, yeah.
I never wrote any Redwall fanfiction, but I've definitely written plenty of other stuff. I still write stuff. I write my own original stuff, but I do still randomly write fan-based things, and I'm currently working on rewriting things that a friend of mine and I started way back in high school, and we decided, hey, let's, now that we actually know what we're doing, let's go back and fix this.
Well, Jeremy and I actually wrote, if you could call it fan fiction, and yeah, that's fair, we originally met on Sprite Comic Forums. good times.
Yep.
Nice.
That's adorable.
And yeah. It's a long story, but yeah, we was in Mega Man Sprite Comics, and yeah, we've been friends ever since.
Yep. I made a couple of those Sprite comics.
So did I.
They were fun. It was fun just kind of like messing around with that stuff and, you know, editing sprites instead of studying for finals or, wait, maybe only I did that.
Oh my goodness, no. I remember reading countless fanfics while I was supposed to be studying for finals. Like, but just one more chapter, and then it's like 4 a.m. I'm like, well, oops.
Yeah. Guilty as charged. Question. So, Jeremy and I we eventually came up with the concept. It wasn't our original concept. Let me rephrase that. We saw other members of the Sprite Comic Forum we were on make fun of, I think it was Avatar The Last Airbender fanfiction.
I had actually seen it on other websites long ago. This was forever ago. I think this fanfiction library is gone at this point, but one of the guys that used to contribute to it found out that another story had kind of ripped off wholesale a lot of the stuff that he did, and so he did a Mystery Science Theater of this guy's fic using the Mystery Science Theater characters, and I found it hysterically funny. But then I had seen on our forum people actually just did it themselves, and so Pete and I were like, well, we could do that, and then the long-running gag long-running torture of me being able to find the worst things ever.
You found them, all right.
Like, worst, clean stories, not like, you know...
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, we didn't find any, like, the darker stuff on the internet, but...
Oh, what do you think this is? 50 Shades of Grey?
We didn't find anything like... I never found anything like that, but, like... I remember the very first story Pete and I riffed on was a Kim Possible Dragon Ball GT crossover.
Oh, wow.
God. That was one of the good ones, ironically.
Ironically. I also... And then I ended up... Because I got really bored at one point and didn't feel like actually writing anything at the time, I decided to do my own solo MSTs, where I took some of the original characters that I came up with and used them as, like, the subjects for this and had them riff on stuff. To the point where I riffed on one story, swear to God, the author replied to me and actually thought that 9 real people riffed on his story.
Oh,
that's
wow.
How convincing my characters were. And I took that as a compliment.
Yeah, at that point you have to.
Yep.
So, now, we are here, we will talk about certain members' fanfictions, but we will get to that in a bit. What we are not here to do is blatantly bash people. So
we're not?
If we feature you, it's done out of love, not because we think you're a horrible writer.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
I think if anybody is brave enough to publish their work online, they deserve some.
You hurt the ones you love.
Yes, we're certainly about to hurt the ones we love.
Yeah. It hurts us more than it hurts you.
Yeah. But it comes from an honest place of entertainment and criticism. I loved every single thing that I read, as great or horrible as it may be.
That being said, before we get to the fix in general, what's your general opinion of the worth, I guess would be a good way, of fanfiction?
I think it's fantastic for writers who want to be writers someday, that they aren't quite comfortable creating their own characters, but they want to put something out there and kind of have a world already built for them where they can work on their, you know, their conventions and their plot and their characterization and everything like that. So I think it's definitely... It's influenced a lot of writers, I think.
I think it's a good way to fill the void. you know, whether it was a fantastic end to a series that, you know, you felt so strongly about these characters or this plot or this setting, and you thought, you know, I want to contribute to it, pay homage to the author, or whether it was an awful, awful ending. I read a series I'm calling out this series. I forgot the author's name, which is horrible, but I am home, so maybe I can find it on my bookshelf. But it's a series called The Divide, and the ending was the most egregious thing that has ever happened to me in my life.
Oh, wow.
I honestly... Oh, there it is. It's on my bookshelf right there. Who are you? I'm calling out an author. Elizabeth Kay, I'm sorry. Your writing was fantastic. I love you. Your ending, oh my god. It was like 2 in the morning when I finished it. I was crying. I had to like go wake up my mom. I was about 12. I was just like, this was, I don't know what happened to these characters, and it makes me sad and angry. And that was actually one of the first fan fictions I ever wrote, was a better ending for The Divide by Elizabeth Kay.
Yeah,
so that's what I think fan fiction is for.
I think it's fine. I mean, there's some weird stuff on the internet, and
of course,
people, and people enjoy that stuff, that's good for you, much like fan art. There's good and bad. I think it's a given that almost everybody's first story is going to be bad. I will freely admit, the very first fanfic I ever wrote was a Dragon Ball Z fanfic. It's not very good. Probably the only positive thing I can say about it is I got my grammar and spelling correct. So there we go. Which is still better than a lot of the stuff that I see on the internet.
Winning.
Right.
I think it's fine. Like, I mean, I grew up when I was a kid. Like, my friends and I would come up with little things, and it was like, "Hey, let's," you know, when you're kids, you pretend you're the characters, and or we would play with action figures, and that was kind of the impetus of our original, like, I'd say, fan fiction. Like, oh, I'm pretending I'm Mega Man X, and let's come up with different Mega Man bosses and things. And eventually, like, I hit a point where I started to write stories starting in high school. And the more I did, the more I enjoyed it. Eventually, I figured out how to write more natural-sounding dialogue rather than characters just kind of saying what they were going to do or writing what I thought was drama and just ended up being kind of, like, goofy melodrama looking back at it. which I will freely admit that I've done. I've looked back at a couple things I've written and been like, you know, this, you know, wasn't bad when I wrote this. I would definitely write differently now.
Exactly.
And I have had that moment, Drew, that you talked about where you were not happy with the way something ended. This was, 12 years ago now. Now I feel old. This was 12 years ago. I watched the Ranma ½ series, and that show has no ending.
No.
It has absolutely no ending. And so I was so pissed, I decided to write a Ranma ½ fan fiction to, like, kind of my way of finishing it, which turned into a trilogy.
Awesome.
Let me pose a question to all of you, but Jeremy, I have a feeling I know your answer. Did any of you ever come up with, like, an AMV in your head where you were listening to a song and you were just like, you know what? The characters in this book would definitely be doing, like, something pretty badass to this song right now.
Not the way you think.
I'll go last.
In my case, yes, but this comes to my own original work. When I want to focus on a particular set of characters, I actively seek out theme songs to get myself in their mindset.
Mm-hmm.
So, one of my fictions, I run to the cartoon Avengers Earth Mightiest Heroes. The song is called Fight as One. And you play that a couple of times and think about where the character's going to go next. So, yes, I would say, I would argue I do.
Yeah, I think I do as well. I don't write a lot of fanfic. The only fanfic I have that's published is my Harry Potter one. But I do have... I'm working on, and it'll probably never be finished because, you know, I have other stuff that I'm doing. I'm an adult. Yeah, darn it, adulting. But I'm working on a novel with original characters and everything. It's not like a fantasy or sci-fi. It's just kind of like a more of a character-driven story. And yeah, I definitely have a playlist for that. I have some angsty stuff, some happy stuff. You know, a lot of Sarah Bareilles because I love her so much. She's awesome.
Oh, yeah, I love her music.
She's great.
Jeremy.
Okay. So, better, I actually made, for a college course, I actually made an anime music video.
Yes! Awesome! That was awesome.
I made a Full Metal Alchemist music video put to Through Her Eyes by Dream Theater.
Oh, which, I'm so happy.
Which I put up on YouTube and was promptly taken down because of copyright claim.
Oh, man.
For the record, I got an A on the assignment.
Good, good.
Yep.
That's why you make the video private from now on.
Huh? Yeah. But no, so, like, whenever I've written even before I actually put this stuff down to paper, like, or quote-unquote paper, a.k.a. Microsoft Word, I would listen to music, and every time I do write a story, I put together a soundtrack for it. And if I write, if I want to put in an action scene, a lot of the stuff that I put in, I come up with by listening to a song, and I will, to put it simply, I will choreograph out the action scene in my head
that
song, and then write it down later. So, like, I always say, like, whenever I go to the gym, I'm listening to the songs I'm going to be using and, like, running through those action scenes while I'm on the elliptical.
Wow.
Wow.
Yep.
Sorry, my dog was rolling around and growling. I didn't know if any of that got picked up, but I was trying to keep her quiet.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, okay. I'm home right now, so if you hear some barking in the background, there's an equal chance it's my dog or Katie's.
Yes.
I think there was a little earlier, yeah. So, no worries.
But yeah, that's what I usually do. And like, so one of my friends and I, we've actually been working, like, we work on like this series together, and so when he comes up with great stuff, of course, he comes up with great character stuff, I'm usually the one putting together a lot of the big action sequences. And each time I had one where I put it, I sent it over to him, and his response of, okay, we're not topping that, though I'm pretty sure you will. And shortly afterwards, he's like, okay, yeah, you topped it, great job.
That's awesome.
That's a good feeling.
Yeah, no, it feels good. Like, and I've posted stuff online, I've sent stuff to friends, and like, one of my friends is, I'd say, one of the reasons why I like to continue to write, because he really enjoys reading it. And when he's read some of, like, my action sequences, he'll be like, holy cow, that was awesome. And like, I like getting feedback from them on stuff like this. And, yeah, no, that's whenever I write, I will, like, I'm looking at a soundtrack I put together now for one of my stories. It has 51 songs.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Yep, and it's, like, a big variety of stuff. So you've got, like, Shoot the Thrill by AC/DC, just everything. Stuff from, like, Red versus Blue, like, the later seasons where it's, like, where I use that for, like, a lot of action stuff. I've got Led Zeppelin on here. I've got Queen. I always say I'm the only person who probably has music-wise in the same playlist or soundtrack. You'll see, like, Frank Sinatra, Queen, Smash Mouth, and Avril Lavigne in the same thing.
You know? That's awesome.
Recorder on the wall writing tip, by the way. Something Jeremy brought up just reminded me of it. One of the greatest indicators that an author will actually publish their work at professional publication is them having a writing group, either a group of friends who supports their writing or whether they are part of a workshop group. But having any kind of support with your writing greatly increases your chances of getting published.
Yeah, I believe that. Because, like, getting feedback, I have a couple friends that I send my stuff to, and I'm very nervous because this particular friend I'm thinking about, hi, Lydia, she's brutally honest, but she also tells me if she likes something, but she'll also tell me, you know, hey, this didn't work, you should probably fix it. So, yeah, I really value positive feedback as well as critiques, and I'm trying to work on not taking critiques so personally, because, you know, I'm like, but I thought it was good.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to use my own kids as a sounding board.
Dad, no! I can't do it anymore.
We're Red Wall fans.
I don't want to hear about Martin's great-great-great-granddaughter anymore.
At least, I mean, don't be a father like Luke. No, son, you must listen to this all the time.
Yeah, if there's anything the Rebels series has taught us is how to, when we eventually have kids, to be better parents than the ones in these books.
So, in my two cents, when it comes to the value of fan fiction, agreed with everything I said. It's a good way things get started. And here's the thing. Believe it or not, there's a lot more professional fanfiction out there than people realize. Go walk through your bookstore, local bookstore, and walk into sci-fi or fantasy, and count how many franchises have their own expanded universes.
Uh-huh.
This is fanfiction. Mm-hmm. It just happens to be published.
It's licensed. Yep. Yeah.
Like 50 mm-hmm. Shades of Grey has started out as a fanfiction.
Yes, it did.
Indeed.
Yep.
We can go back and forth for hours on the benefit of that, but I don't think anyone's going to disagree that, no, there's not really a benefit in that particular franchise.
Oh, rip.
I read all three books because one of my friends was like, you'll like it if you just read it. I read all three books, didn't like it. I can officially say, nope, did not like it.
Well, you were braver than I.
Yeah.
So. I mean, here's the thing, and as you mentioned, it was mentioned earlier, starting with this established universe, even if you're making your own characters, it works. One of my favorite Star Wars EU is about the clone troopers. It itself doesn't deal with the Jedi, it deals with the troopers, and it points out the fact that they're human. And, yeah, the Jedi had it coming for using these people as cannon fodder.
Dang.
Yep.
What, George Lucas? I said it.
Yeah.
Pete challenges George Lucas a lot in our other podcast.
I see.
Bite me, Lucas.
One of these days, we're going to get George Lucas and Pete in a boxing match together.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
Don't hurt me, I'm fragile.
I have money.
Okay, so let's get to the meat of it. What fix did we review? And again, I want to repeat this for the record. If we cover you, this is not done out of make fun of your work or you yourself. This is because we found your fic interesting enough to comment on. Okay?
Indeed.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, Drew, why don't you lead us off?
All right, so I read a few, but there are two specifically that I really want to spotlight. One was A Tale of Redwall, The Hunters, by The Bone Crusher Hyena on fanfiction.net. And this one I really, really liked because it had a concept that made sense within the Redwall universe. So the entire concept was that, you know, besides the obvious conflict between the Redwallers and the quote-unquote vermin, there are also kind of these third-party threats that introduce themselves at certain times, whether it was a, a giant pike or a snake. Asmodeus is a great example of something that had no interest in the conflict between the vermin and the Redwallers, but was definitely a threat to both. And so this fan fiction takes a look at a guild of hunters that specifically is contracted to take care of these kind of massive threats. And so I thought that was probably one of the better concepts I saw. I thought the execution was pretty good. I liked how the writer wrote. In fact, at the end of it, they said that they hadn't actually read a Redwall novel yet, but their friend had just introduced them to it, and they had been kind of really liking Jake's style, and you can see it in their mimicry. It starts off, as main Jake's books do, with, you know, an older Redwaller telling the Dibbins a bedtime story, and the Bone Crusher Hyena, they have their name somewhere in here, but that's just the author name on fanfiction.net, I think does a really, really good job of mimicking Jake's, of, you know, mimicking the style of how the Dibbins all talk over each other, and the just kind of the narrative elements. Now, it got a little bit wonky. Apparently, hunters have special powers and potions and things, and can manipulate their own blood, which may have fallen outside the realm of, you know, the magical realism of Redwall. But I definitely, I thought it was a great addition. And the second one I read was called My Red Wall, which was actually a parody of My Immortal, which is a parody of Harry Potter and Twilight fan fiction.
Is it a parody, though? Is it? Have we ever... Is My Immortal really a parody, or was it some girl writing it from the sincerest place deep within her heart? Like, I never figured that out.
I want to go with parody, but I'm just... Oh, man, it was too good. It starts with... I'll read a little bit of this. This is by Weather, spelled W-W-E-A-T-H-E-R, on fanfiction.net. And it's... This story is dedicated to the numeral 2, the late Brian Jakes. Do you think you will like it? Hi, my name is Ramona Darkfur Shadowness Ebony Lee, and I'm a squouse, which is a pentagram between a squirrel and a mouse. I'm also a vampire, but my teeth are straight and white.
What?
I have black fur with pink streaks in it. That's how I got my name, and limpid blue eyes. I'm not related to Amy Lee of Evanescence, even though we have the same last name, but a lot of animals tell me I look like her. I live in a big castle called Redwall Abbey, and there are lots of cool and gothic animals like mice and squirrels and moles and badgers, but sometimes we get attacked by the bad animals, the vermin.
What?
I was so happy.
Yeah, that is, if you've read My Immortal, that is pretty faithful to how My Immortal is set up.
Oh my goodness, it was.
That's one of the few I haven't read. I think the only... I don't know what fic I ever read, like the, I don't know how to even describe it, it was like Christian Humber Reloaded was the name of it. That was a crack fic. That thing was a horrifying monstrosity. Yeah. Oh, by the way, that sound was me bashing my head against my desk.
I wondered what that sound was.
Ow. Yeah, but kind of one of the things I wanted to bring up with these two stories is, besides the obvious skill of the writers, I think both of them were fairly good writers in their own regards, especially the Hunter fanfic, which, you know, really added its own plot to the Redwall universe. And like I said, the addition of hunters who hunt big game is cool to me. I always thought that maybe there should be a group that specializes in taking out these massive threats. But also just the role of, like, asking the question of what if. You know, what if the Redwall universe took place in, I don't know, Star Trek? What if the characters were humans? Would that change it? Probably. You know, I saw a lot of those where it's either, like, heavily, heavily anthropomorphized or just taken to be direct characters. I saw a lot of comedy spoofs. One of them was really good where they're all newscasters. And
I think
just
I saw that
over.
One, too.
It was interesting. It was a little... I don't know. The jokes didn't hit my funny bone, I'll say. But I really appreciated the fact that the author was just like, what if they had television in Redwall?
Yeah.
Well, Harris would probably be the newscasters, and
I can totally see that. Yeah,
we'd have forecasts and certainly, you know, updates on threats and such like that.
I would have had like a Seer Fox as the weatherman.
I would love that. I know they had like a cooking segment, and they used some of the actual recipes from the Redwall cookbook. I'm not sure if that's plagiarism, but it was dope.
Oh, that's I'll give it, that's creative. I like that.
Yeah, it was just kind of a really neat little vignette, and I appreciated it.
Yeah, I'm trying to pick up my brain from the floor from that one, but okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Jeremy, bring us back to reality, please.
So,
you read his selections?
So, one of the first ones I found, I did find that newscaster one, which, yeah, that it was a very cute idea. A for effort on that one, I will definitely give. So, one of the ones I found, something.
I just choked on jelly bean.
Huh?
Don't do that.
Please don't.
I'm okay. Go on.
He choked on a jelly bean. Do not choke yourself on this podcast.
I shouldn't.
I feel like we should have a disclaimer. That. Like, Recorder on the Wall is not responsible for any jelly bean choking that may occur during this fanfiction podcast.
Okay, we have our disclaimer.
I've still been using the phrase we took from Martin the Warrior book one, where it's, at least we're not on fire.
Yeah. Yes.
I work in a newsroom, and there are plenty of times where that comes in handy, where everything's messed up, and the photographers are everywhere, and everything's bad, and I just stop and think for a second, at least we're not on fire.
Yes. Indeed.
You need to say that to somebody, and be like, hey, at least you're not on fire, and just to see what the reaction is.
Oh, I have.
So... something I don't know if I ever, you know, I never really got into this. I don't get the full concept of the, you know, self-insert fanfics, or
yeah.
As they put them, like Mary Sue's and Gary Stew's.
Should we explain that, what that is?
Yeah.
Sure. So a lot of people write a story of like, oh, I got sucked into the movie, or I got sucked into the video game. Pete and I actually riffed MST'd a Halo fanfic where this guy got sucked into the game. And so I get, like, they want to be a character, like, they'll put their character in there to interact with the other characters.
Yes.
And yep. A lot
they make them way too perfect. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. Like, yeah. Or... on the other end of the spectrum, it won't be a self-insert, but they'll pick a character and make that, like, their character. So, like, that Kim Possible Dragon Ball GT crossover that Pete and I riffed on, I ended up reading through the entire thing out of sheer morbid curiosity.
Like a train wreck? You just can't look away from it?
Exactly.
I mean, you're a masochist when it comes to reading through some of those.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
I agree. And so this guy took the character Ron from Kim Possible and essentially was like, well, now Ron's a Super Saiyan, and now he's more powerful than everyone else, and he's training, and then he and Pan fall in love, and I'm like, that's also kind of creepy, but isn't she like 12? But
yeah. yeah.
Like, he's the main focus of everything, and essentially it turns the main character into like Poochie from The Simpsons, where it's like, when Poochie's not around, all the other characters should be going, where's Poochie? So usually that's like the trap with quote-unquote original characters as the main character, where it feels like they're just being inserted in as a proxy for the writer. And so one of the things I found was an author who had an, I don't know if I would say an unhealthy like of Clooney? And
yes, the bad boy.
And it's flat out called I Love You, Clooney, with an exclamation point. And it says fanfic about love of my character Ratty and Clooney the Scourge.
Yeah, oh. I saw that one too.
Yeah.
And no, I read about two paragraphs and I did a big fat nope.
Well, she did a sequel. I Love You, Clooney 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
Oh, boy. See, and that's the thing, like, a lot of these irredeemable evil characters from fan fiction, people are like, but no, they can be super nice, though. And then they, like, make a fanfic to prove it.
No, well, there's one thing to focus on, like, a villain and follow them in a different way. One of the fanfics I had read a long time ago, it was a Chrono Trigger one, which focused on the character of Janus, or the Magus, and focused on, like, his turn to being, you know, being evil, and unfortunately it was unfinished before you could get to the end of it, where he kind of becomes a reluctant hero. But that's fine if you want to focus on the villains or try to, you know, maybe redeem them in some way or make them a more of a gray character. But then there's, I don't know, I just, again, like I said, I never really got into the whole, I'm just going to put myself or my proxy into this world. Instead, what I kind of like doing is writing a character that might have a trait that I have, like likes to make a lot of jokes. I don't know if anyone noticed that. But I'll write, like, a goof, you know, a character maybe a little bit funny, you know, a little that would say lines that are something similar to what I would say, as long as it's in character. I'd also like to point out that this person has a YouTube page, which kind of frightens me. But
have you looked at it yet?
They have 5 videos.
Can you please link that for me?
They have more than 5. Here you go. Knock
I
yourself
need this
out.
In my life. Thank you.
You're welcome. So there was that, which I will flat out say, this is not the worst Mary Sue / self insert that I have ever seen. You know, there's stuff that's way, 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 way more mentally scarring. And then, Pete, did you want someone else to go next? You want me to just talk about the next one?
Katie is next, and then me.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, I cheated when I did too. I apologize.
Okay, so I'm trying to figure out which one. I picked 3 of them, and 2 of them I did purely for nostalgia. They're not very current, but they're ones that when I was looking for Redwall fanfic, like, years and years ago, they were the ones I found. But the most current one I found was a series of, I guess you'd call them vignettes, about the Marl Foxes, if I can even get that word out. And it's kind of about the interactions between the siblings and their mother and their father. I don't think he makes an appearance, but there is one where they're reacting to his death. And it kind of gives them a little bit more depth without going the route of, oh, they're secretly good. No, they're all terrible. But it just gives them a little bit more depth.
What's the Marl Fox's castle called?
Castle Marl. let's see.
It's Always Sunny in Castle Marl.
Yeah. Let's see. It's called Air Stitch, and it's by Mink Spit, I think is the author's name.
Okay. That just leaves me. Like Jeremy mentioned, yes, I saw the self-insert / fake with Clooney, and I spent about 5 minutes on that. And I decided it was not going to be one of mine, because that was one of our rules. When we established earlier, we were trying to avoid / fakes if we could.
Technically not a / fake. Anyway, we won't go into that, but anyway.
Let's start with the... As Jeremy mentioned, yes, I kind of spoiled this was going to be our April Fool's joke with both the Redwall subreddit and the Redwall forums, and I actively put out a call for people to give me fix to riff on, and I got 1 reply.
Oh yeah, active 1. Viewers.
And that comes from the guy who manages part of the Redwall fan forum, Captain Timo, and he volunteered his own fix. And you know what? Why not?
Oh, yes.
So, Captain, this is for you. So, I looked at one of his fics called The Chronicle of Cornsbury. And since we haven't yet to get to this book, and it is a good while away, this comes out of The Long Patrol.
Oh, yes, that is a good while away.
Yeah.
Yeah. This focuses on the father of the main character. So.
Oh, I should have realized that.
Cornsbury Tussock.
Mm. Oh, right.
So, yep, and short version. Again, we'll cover this when we get to Long Patrol in a year or so, God knows what. But, long story short, the father, after he retired, he and his wife both retired from Long Patrol, they found their own settlement east of Redwall. Or northeast. It's still in Mossflower. But it shows further evidence that settlements are growing beyond the 2 major points. But this story focuses purely on just Cornsbury just reflecting on his own military service. He flashes back to the first battle he was involved in. And I'm not going to spoil it because, you know what? It's not a bad character study about someone we barely know. And it doesn't really have any real impact from the book characters that inspired this, but no, No, I'd recommend this. This is a nice little distraction.
I'll have to check that out. Are you going to put all the links in the show notes about all the fanfics that we found?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
And then I'm actually going to put that, when we publish this episode, we're going to make that public. So, if nice. People are interested, they can go find it. So, okay. Captain, yeah, this is good. Bravo.
I look forward to reading it.
Okay, Drew, we're round back to you.
All right, what's good? I threw out every single one that I had, so I'll speak. I'm going to instead just read another paragraph from my Redwall.
What was that? Jeremy, are you okay?
I believe that would be Jeremy trying to concuss himself.
Jeremy, stop, please.
The next day I woke up in my coffin. I pushed my long black head fur up out of my eyes and sat up. I took off my giant MCR t-shirt that I used.
She's a vampire, remember?
Yes, she is.
I blocked that out.
She's actually, what was it? I gotta go back to it. She is a squouse.
A squouse, yes.
Yes. Instead, I changed into a long black dress with sequins. I put on the black eyeliner, black foundation, black nail polish, and I slipped into my black high heels. My friend Jess Squirrel smiled at me, understatedly. It turns out that Jess's parents were really vampire squirrels. Clooney the Scourge murdered her mother, and her father committed suicide because he was depressed about it. Now she was a goth just like me. She's also half Japanese, so she speaks it in everything.
Wow.
And that's what's going
Freed,
on
Jeremy.
My Redwall,
Freed.
So.
I did find this person. I was just looking back. Oh, God. I thought this person was a joke.
It's a parody. It's a very well-written parody.
Well, no. I thought this author was a joke. And not saying, like, they're an idiot or anything. I read part of their, what's it called? Oh, my God. My brain doesn't work anymore.
Well, yes. Hitting your head repeatedly against your desk will do that.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's probably one of the first signs of a concussion, buddy.
Profile. I read their profile.
Yes.
And I just thought this person can't be... I think they are joking around. I think this is a legit parody. Because if you look at their profile, it just says, "Hello, I am a goth and proud of it. Things I like: Redwall, Harry Potter, Evanescence, Good Charlotte, My Chemical Romance, Hot Topic, My Little Pony."
That's so goth. My Little
One
Pony.
Of these things is not like the others. And then things I don't like: posers. That's people who want you to think they're goth, but they're not. The color pink, even though they like My Little Pony. Twilight is not a goth thing. It's a poser thing. And then they finish it with, "I like to make fan fiction because I am good at it." So yes, I think this person is joking around, in which case that is very good, but that was actually why I skipped them, because I was like, no, I don't think this is legit. This is on the level.
Well, I'm glad I picked that up for you.
Thank you.
I love parodies.
Back to Jeremy.
Alright, I'm actually not looking at this.
Wait, is it me? Did you skip me?
Oh wait, Kate, I'm
No.
Jeremy is next, and then Katie.
Okay. Right. Apparently, I can't.
Or at least that was the idea.
My brain won't work either. See what bad things is doing to us.
It's being affectionate. And by the way, this person did write Redwall and My Little Pony crossovers.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
The potential for humanity.
I need to go bash my head.
And it's literally just writing the titles of the existing Redwall books, but with, like, My Little Pony, because it's like Outcast of Equestria, My Little Brock Tree.
Okay.
Ariel of Ponyville.
Move on.
All right, moving on. but I'm so enthralled.
Jeremy, first rule.
What's our first rule?
A Fight Club? Okay. Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Sorry, All right. Anyway, I'll revisit that later. Anyway. So the other thing I read, I found this one guy who wrote like a bunch of stuff, and I will give him this. There is a good idea beneath what I found, which he wanted to write more morally gray characters for Redwall, which, mm-hmm. Okay, that's not a bad idea. We've discussed that on the podcast before, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So my problem with this guy is he just kind of threw out all the other stuff that makes this series feel unique. So instead of... he literally says, I don't want to write out the accents because it's too difficult and I don't know how, and I can't read them very well. So it's like, then why are you bothering to do this, is my question.
D minus for effort.
Yeah. Or, and as well as, I'm not going to measure their ages in seasons, I'm going to measure it in years. So it's like, again, you're throwing out something unique to this franchise.
Yeah.
And, yeah, this wasn't good. I'm not going to go into full, like, he decided to say, like, oh, what if a badger was considered a vermin? And I'm like, okay, what did they do for this to make
rip
it happen?
Rip Redwallers.
Huh?
I said rip Redwallers if a badger was considered a vermin.
Yeah.
Didn't lie.
In case of a badger lord, you would have a king. Sorry.
But he doesn't explain, like, it just seems more, instead of morally gray characters, it just feels like everyone is a jerk. So, and I, you know, subtlety is very difficult in writing. I will freely admit this. I have written stuff looking back going, like, I could have done that better. Could have made, you know,
yep.
made that less ridiculous.
Me too.
But it's just, like, the way everything comes off of just, like, and also the fact that he flat out says, you do not need to have read any of the prior stories to read this one, yet it feels like basic concepts of these characters are not being explained. Not to mention that he forgets to say what some of these creatures are, so I read like an entire chapter not knowing that this one character was a squirrel and thinking that they were a hedgehog.
Ah.
They're actually a squouse.
It could have been worse.
Well, to be fair, you know, Jake sometimes does that in his later books. There was one villain that he said was a stoat and then later changed it to a ferret.
Wait, really?
Yes.
Wait, what?
Oh, wow. I don't remember.
Yes.
Oh,
this
man.
Writer wasn't wrong. They were just going by tradition.
Yeah.
Well, sure. I mean.
But yeah, it's just, it also, Pete, you said what you read, like, you know, what's been said already is like a couple people said, like, oh, it feels kind of like, you know, a continuation, or it feels, has that same feel as the stories. This just has like a really drab, cold, boring feel to it. It doesn't, like, when you read the Redwall books, that's a book series that I would love to read, you know, with a cup of tea sitting in front of the fire. You know, it's just like this very homely, for the most part, at least some of the early, well, I don't know about some of the stuff in Martin the Warrior, but, you know, it has like a very friendly tone, even in the darkest of times, whereas this just felt, like I say, cold, and everyone felt like a jerk. To the point where I couldn't bring myself to have any sympathy for the chained up little squirrel that was being treated as a slave.
Oh.
Like, you know, it's like these characters have no personality and the dialogue has nothing to it. Like, I'll read this dialogue and just be like, I know this character said a bunch of words, but I don't really know why they said it or what any of it means.
Yeah, and that is definitely something. Even if you as a writer care about the characters, if you don't make your readers care about the characters, then you've got a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I said, like, the good intentions, but what do they say, the road to the gates of the dark forest are paved with good intentions?
Indeed, sir, that is what they say.
God. Help.
You're right over there.
That's what you get for reading more of my Redwall.
Okay. All right.
Okay. This got creepy. Katie, why don't you pick her up?
All right. So, to cheer everyone up, I think one of the most common things to write about in fan fiction is, what if actually didn't die? Like, what if...
What?
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Spoiler.
You're going to have to blank out the name in the actual...
Spoiler, yes.
Yeah, I'm going to have to.
I was actually trying to purposely avoid those stories, because I'm like, well, let's not cover that. Okay.
Yes, well...
There are a lot, I will agree, there are a lot of those.
Yes, there are. And, I mean, if you would prefer me to skip it until later when we have finished Martin the Warrior, I can totally do that.
Okay. Well, I'll just do a disclaimer here. If you have not read Martin the Warrior, one, shame on you. And two...
Well, they might be reading along with us.
Yes, we're about to cover major spoilers here.
Yes, spoilers,
so
spoilers.
Do so at your... Yeah, spoil at your own risk.
Yes, we can do... You can edit in this, like, little alarm, like... Spoilers!
I like this idea.
There are
okay.
spoilers.
So... Anyway, now that we're in the spoiler zone, so I found a...
That's what we should name the segment.
Spoiler zone? Yes.
You are about to enter a door.
The spoiler.
Oh, okay. After we're done actually recording the episode, let's do that. Like, we'll make the spoiler zone.
Oh, that would be so fun. All right, all right.
Okay, so okay. I read a lot of these, and some of them were like, oh, she didn't actually die, she was totally fine, and everything was cool. But this one that I found, it's called The Blossom, and it's by Warrior 4. And she actually did have a pretty serious head injury when, you know, she was thrown against the wall. And she ended up being paralyzed for a really long time, and it took her a while to recover the use of her legs and everything. And so her and Martin eventually found each other again, but it was a while later. And I just really liked the way it was done. There, you know, some scenes with, you know, two mice making out is a little bit like, okay, I'm gonna, it never gets too deep into it, thankfully, but yeah, that was the only time that I was like, okay, well, I know that this whole series is based on animals, and that's great, but my brain cannot process the making out of two animals.
How anthropomorphic are they? Oh, no!
Well, I actually take it a step not that direction further, but I actually forgot to mention something about the story I read, but I can bring that up later.
Yes. But anyway, I mean, other than that, like, he does a couple other ones, like a couple other sequels, and they're all very well written. I think that he does mole speech very well, and the dialogue with Gonf and Martin is very well done. And I think he captures the spirit of the characters really well. There are a lot of grammatical type errors that I actually have these fanfics saved on my computer, and I went through and I edited them like a court reporter nerd, because I couldn't actually read them because my brain would be like, nope, missed a comma. Oop, that's the wrong use of that word. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to edit these so I can enjoy them and have my brain shut up. So I did that.
I like that.
Yes. But yes, this it is flies. One that it is, despite like the few minor flaws, it is one of my favorite Redwall fanfics.
All right, that just leaves me for the second one. And kind of like when I was setting this up, I wanted to catch on a good one and a not-so-good one. And I found one that advertised itself as rewriting the main Redwall story from Clooney's point of view.
Oh, boy.
And showing he wasn't the villain that everyone thought he was. And I was like, I actually got interested in this because I love this kind of subversion turnaround.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned my Star Wars EU fan earlier that actually, it's called the Republic Commando series, and it actually shows the Jedi as being kind of moral jerks.
Yeah.
So, or, you know, look at Wicked, that franchise, both
yep.
book and musical. Or, you know, I love this idea of turning the narrative around. However, this isn't as best, didn't do the best it could. So, the title of this one is, quote, Redwall explained the story from Clooney's point of view. Okay, fine. And the author is Shadowed 119. Okay. I'm not going to comment on that. However, here's the thing. The writer approaches from a tongue-in-cheek humor point of view. Okay, fine. I can down with that. You look at like their two recent Muppet movies, and how they love to be tongue in cheek. Or you look at something like Robot Chicken, or you know, there's ways to do this comedically. And so I was kind of disappointed here. Like I kind of wanted a genuine like, you know, what was going through Clooney's head? Because if we actually recall for that first book, Clooney kind of takes pride in his work. So,
yes, he does.
What could he possibly be thinking to make himself the good guy here? So, like I said, this is done tongue-in-cheek, and I wouldn't even have a problem with that normally. My problem here is that it's, even for fanfiction, you mentioned the whole correcting the grammar earlier, Katie, and I think my eye was twitching reading this, because it's not a very high read. It's not written deeply or with prose or with more than three syllable words. So yeah, it's direct to the point, there's no subtlety to it. And you know, what can you expect with some fanfiction? So while I appreciate what he's trying to do, the other major flaw here is that it's short. It's six chapters for a book that is well over that its mother book is well over 300 pages.
Yes.
We get no dialogue. It's all told, not show.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Ah, that is a problem.
So, yeah. Again, it's done tongue in cheek, so I can't be entirely cruel to this here, but it could have been much better. The idea of rewriting it from a villain point of view really is a good idea.
No, I also find those different perspective type things fascinating, but only if they're done well, and I don't have to get out my figurative red pen and be like, nope, miss that, miss that, miss that, miss that.
I mean, for all the heck that all the criticism that Stephanie Meyer suffered, she was trying to do that in herself. There was supposed to be a Twilight book that was going to come from Edward's point of view.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, you know, maybe that's not a bad idea. Unfortunately, she ended up canceling it.
Yes.
So.
Although she, and I'm so sorry, any Twilight fans, but I just don't think she does the thing that you're talking about. She tells, not shows, a lot of the time. Meyer does with the writing, and it's just not enjoyable to me. And I'm sure that other people find it enjoyable, and that's great. I just don't find it engaging.
I didn't like the books for similar reasons. I tried with the first one, and I've got maybe about two chapters in, and I'm like, nah.
Yeah, I read all four of them again because one of my friends was like, you just have to read all of it and then you'll like it. So I did.
Oh my god, Katie,
really
stop doing that.
Yes, I know.
Well, Katie, let me tell you of a story of a franchise called The Dresden Files, and it's 16 books long.
I love it.
I actually, funny story, I just started reading that a couple days ago. I'm on the first book.
Yes, Harry Dresden.
It takes a while to build steam, but yes, it's very good.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it so far. I have the audiobook that I'm listening to.
Ah, uh-huh.
Good.
Oh yeah, yes, James Marsters do all the
yes.
Books, so.
Spike from Buffy.
I was gonna say, Pete, you were saying like it's show don't, you know, kind of bad descriptions in books. I think it takes time also to stop from, as someone who has written a lot of like action stuff and read a lot of bad action stuff, it takes a little while to start to stop writing your stuff like it's instructions on a script. Like, a lot of people say, did this, then that, then this, then this. You know, like, it gets this kind of telling you the sequence of events rather than giving you descriptions of what's happening. And I think Redwall gives a good example of how not to do that, where we get, like, the character's emotions in the fights. Like, in the, you know, the action sequences are never excessively long. Like, we never really have a huge fight that's like 14 pages or something. But what we will get, even if the fights are a little bit shorter, we get the emotion of the characters coming across, and I think that's, and it helps tell the story of the fight. Like, Matthias fighting Clooney, him, you know, thinking how to fight Clooney. We get Clooney's desperation of like, oh God, the spirit of this mouse that's been haunting me is actually here and facing me now. And, yeah, you know, Matthias standing up to Asmodeus, where it's not like a full-on fight. He just hacks him apart, but it has that emotion behind it where it's like he struck for Methuselah. He struck against Clooney. He struck for this. You know, you have this big epic moment, and finally Matthias is standing there. You can tell he's exhausted, but he's finally reached that final point of becoming a true warrior.
Yep.
And,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know if anyone else, I just have one final one, and it's very, I mean, it's not short, but my explanation of it can be very short. As soon as I see the title, I say the title, you'll know why. But it's a crack pic. It's definitely a parody. It's pretty hilarious. It's called Redwall's Next Top Model, and it's pretty much just
no bumping your head, Jeremy.
It's pretty much just a reality show parody of 12 different, you know, females and who was going to be the next top model. And he'd never finished it. I think he stopped after a while, but it was like a different contest, and the reviewers of the fiction would vote on who they think was best, and it was like a fun interactive thing that I definitely participated in when I was like 18 or 19. And yeah, it just brought back a lot of nostalgia, and I wanted to include it.
I actually read a little bit of that because you sent it a few days ago.
Uh-huh.
And I really liked how, obviously, the author had that host character who was, you know, trying to be funny as each of these models came out. And it was all written in script format. I just thought it would be fun if, like, voice actors took a crack at that and just tried to give it a little bit of pizzazz.
Yeah.
My Redwall, Part 3.
Oh, boy.
Jeremy.
Alright, if you remember, this is just a squirrel, and she's half Japanese.
Oh wait, she's a squouse.
No, this is just squirrel.
Just a squirrel. I forgot it was just squirrel.
Yeah,
it's just. Hey Ramona, she said, you look really kawaii. Author notes, Japanese for cute. Today.
Sorry,
I love how people put author's notes in the middle of the chapter.
Oh,
that is
God.
So professional.
Oh, God, I hate it when people do that. Yeah, oh, God. And so many people do that.
It's a huge thing in the anime community. There's a really great video called By Guy Prozad or Sun Wong, where it's fan translations versus official translations.
Mm-hmm.
I thought was pretty accurate. But thanks, get it, because I'm gothic. She's saying thanks, but thanks.
Yeah.
I said that. You do.
Continue.
I can't make a comment on it because I've made that pun before.
We went down to the Great Hall. No, not the one from Harry Potter, for breakfast. I ate some Count Chocula cereal with blood in the middle.
What?
And also a glass of red blood. I had to drink it fast because it congealed. OMFG, I saw you talking to Matthias yesterday, Jess said excitedly. Yeah, so I said, you like him, don't you? She teased. OMFG, no, I don't, I explained. Yeah, right. Just then, Matthias came, sat next to us at the table. Hey, Ramona, Evanescence is giving a concert at Moss Flower Woods this evening. Do you want to go with me? I gasped.
Oh boy, that is very, very close to the actual My Immortal, which I'm just starting to read because there's a podcast out. It's called Who's Immortal, and it's like three people reading it and making comments, and it's hilarious.
Oh, okay.
Anyway,
anyone got some October ale?
I've got a piece of chocolate cake out in my parents' dining room that I am going
calm
to
down there, Ambrose.
Indulge in after this.
I've got some raspberry stout in the fridge.
Oh man. Anyone got some of that salamandestron herb?
I know, I'm sorry.
Salamandestron.
No.
Salamandestrain.
Oh.
Oh boy.
Woo. Oh.
Yeah. I don't know. I really like fan fiction, though. I think it's a good concept, and as long as you read selectively, and if you don't like something, you stop reading it and go on to something else, I think you can have a good experience with fan fiction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember way back when, and I recently reread through these, I had read through this series of Final Fantasy VII fanfics that this one guy wrote, and I remember back in the day, like, I think that was one of the things that helped drive me to write my own stuff, and I really liked them, and now going back to them, I'm like, yeah, not as good as I remember, which, you know, a lot of things are like that when you revisit them, but I'm like, you know what, these are still really good, and still really fun, and there's some parts that still had me laughing my head off, and they were purposefully funny.
Yep.
Yeah, I know one of my favorite fan fictions, probably the only one that I read more than 20 chapters of, which sounds like a lot, but usually fan fictions are fairly short in their chapter breaks, but it was called The Silver Resistance, and it was a Pokemon Mystery Dungeon fan fiction.
Oh, wow.
And that game, oh my goodness, if you want an emotional sucker punch, Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, Explorers of Time, Explorers of Darkness, or Red or Blue Rescue Team, just, like, they just punch you in the eye at certain points. And you don't expect it from a Pokemon game. You're like, oh, well, you know, this is gonna be cute. I'm a Pokemon? Because the entire premise is you transformed into a Pokemon. And then, oh, my goodness. So, yeah, fan fiction. Pretty cool, pretty good. Great way to start writing, great way to keep writing if you're at a crossroads and you're just like, I can't think of anything, you know, I'm really just, you know, kind of bankrupt in my ideas. Write a fan fiction, share it.
Yeah.
Share it with us, email us, voice your own fan fiction. For every slash fic you send Pete, I will personally write you a fan fiction.
Oh boy.
Yes, everyone send those to Pete.
Pete. And his heard the Dragon Ball Z scream I'm going to put in here.
Can't copyright.
Oh. Okay, well, since I won't be cutting this out, yes, listeners, insert your own scream here that you can hear for echoing in the distance. All right, so that about wraps us up. Unless there was nothing we did, any other fix we didn't really cover.
Do you want me to go into the part of this thing that I read that I didn't before? I don't have to.
No.
Okay, I don't want to either.
There we go.
Yeah. Let's just say it was kind of graphic and pushed. It was way past the K-plus rating that this thing had been set up with. And I'm like, no, this is not K-plus.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
These wounds are meant to heal. Some are just too real. Oh, yeah, the Evanescence
covers
of a certain individual.
Oh, God, I was like, what is that song?
Yeah.
I am mortal.
My Immortal by Evanescence.
God. Yep.
My Immortal. It all comes around.
Okay. These mental scars, they will not heal.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Well.
Okay, well. What's next? Martin the Warrior Book 2, right?
Yep.
Granted us back in reality. Where we're going to have a heron who eats squirrels.
Wait,
it's toads.
What?
What?
I am the law.
Oh.
The spoiler zone.
I thought you said a hare that eats squirrels.
No, heron.
A heron that eats
bird.
Lizards.
Okay.
Quickly, get on the fanfiction. Yes.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll probably just delete this whole section because I'm tired.
All right.
He's deleting the section. Quick, everybody, spoilers. Dumbledore killed Snape.
No, Snape killed Dumbledore. Come on, dude.
Oh, what the heck, Katie?
Wait, what?
Oh, God.
You and Roach reading Drew.
All I want is for Pete to forget to cut this. If you're out there, listeners, please send a message to my wife.
Wait, what?
I love you.
All right. Well, should we say goodbye to the listeners so that
we should?
We never really had an ending. We just tangented into
the letter. Before that, Jeremy, where can they find us?
Huh?
Before we say goodbye, Jeremy, where can they find us?
You can find us at recorderonthewall.com. We are also on iTunes, Google Play Podcast. We are featured on the official Redwall Forum, as well as the Eulalia subreddit. Did I miss anything?
You should
we'll
rate
all
and
be
review
at
on iTunes.
AstroCon next year.
Hmm?
Nothing.
I was saying you should rate and review on iTunes.
Yes.
That would be appreciated, yes.
Yes.
All right. All right, say goodbye, people.
Goodbye,
people.
Goodbye, people.
Happy fan fiction.